Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman, proclaiming a message of hope and freedom. Let's join Brother Bulla now for today's message.
Aloha. Welcome once again to 99.5. We're on The Word. This is Free Inside Ministry. Once again, thanking all of you that are tuning in tonight, wherever you may be, up in Waiava, Alava, FDC, OCCC, or WCCC, or maybe you've just reached home after fighting that wonderful traffic heading out to the west side, or maybe you're sitting on the porch in Waimanalo or Kailua. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. You know, we want to give a big shout out. We had such a wonderful... Oh, wait, let me hear my sound effects.
Amen.
Told you, bring my sound effects board with me again. That string is getting tighter around her finger to remind her when to speak. Hallelujah. But we had a wonderful time last night in modules 3 and 4 at OCCC. So we're giving a big shout out to modules 3 and 4 and also module 8. Now, you know, the Lord is in control. God is always in control, because even though Lynn and I were a little late, and we ran into a situation where one of the sergeants says, "Lockdown, lockdown, cannot go in." Well, God's grace touched his heart, and
yes,
we said, "How come it's locked down?" He said, "I'll go eat." I said, "Well, you got to go eat. We got more time than money, Sarge. We'll wait. Not a problem. We just want to go see the girls tonight, see our sisters." He goes, "Okay." 15 minutes later, came back, goes, "Let's go."
He's back.
So we got to go in, much to the joy of our sisters in module...
Module 3.
In module 3, we were there last night. And we had our other team. We had Sister Linda and Sister Marianne in module 3. And,
module 4,
I'm sorry.
Hey, ladies.
Hello, ladies. Just want to give you a shout-out. Hey, we want to give a shout-out to our brothers up in Waiava. And we'll see them shortly around the end of this month when it's our turn to get back up there. Brothers out in FDC, just want to let you know that you're still near and dear to my heart. Sister Lynn looks wonderful with her hair, and looking forward to seeing you this Sunday.
Hey, John.
Yes. Hello, Big John. Keep it rolling. Keep it right. Keep it tight. Stay in the light, brother.
We'll see you
praying
soon
for you. You know, this, our anchor verse for Free Inside Ministry is Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future." And that scripture is for you, it's for me, it's for everyone here.
Amen.
It's in the Bible. You know, we do have a website if you'd like to check it out. And the wonderful thing about our website is you can actually click on to one of our recorded radio programs.
Amen.
And we also are connected through the iTunes podcast system and also the Google feed burner system. So if you wanted to have the podcast automatically loaded to your electronic device, it is possible and made available to you through our website. And big shout out to Erwin Santos, otherwise commonly known as Superman.
Superman.
For making it happen. Thank you very much, Mr. Santos. And we also want to give a shout out to Mark Benson and his wonderful team at Honolulu Ford, where they make a dream become a reality right in front of your eyes. Thank you for all your support, Brother Mark. You know, and we also have, for those of you that are still riding the wave of social media, our Facebook page is in 22 countries, about 18 languages, and it's also even in English for all of us here in Hawaii. Hallelujah. And our Facebook page name is Free Inside Ministry. Check it out for the latest photos, latest updates, and just to keep in the know with what's going on with Free Inside. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just having a wonderful Tuesday. You know, I wished it was Friday, but no, it's Tuesday. And a long week ahead of us, but you know, God is good. God is still in control.
Yes,
and
yes.
No matter where you're at, no matter where you're at right now, you've got to know God is in control. And everything that happens to you is in God's great plan for you. Now, we were explaining that to our sisters last night, and I know it's a hard thing to grasp when you're incarcerated and when you're locked up, but what I explained to them is, God loved you. God loves you right where you're at. No matter what you've done, what you've said, who you thought, or what you did to whoever, God loves you right where you're at. But,
yes,
and that's a big but, he loves you too much to leave you where you're at. You see, God's redeeming blood has redeemed you for far greater things than being incarcerated in a facility. And he just wants you to get out and to make it right and to get right with your family and to take care of your family, because God's all about family. You know, the Bible has 66 chapters, over 1,100, or 66 books, over 1,100 chapters, tens of thousands of words in the Bible. But, you know, the translation of the Bible in three words. Now, you're going to say, Bula, how can you do that? Well, I say, I didn't do it. Someone else did. But if you were to try to translate the Bible, all 66 chapters, all 1,100 plus chapters, 66 books, 1,100 plus chapters, tens of thousands of words, it would come down to three simple words. God loves you. God loves you. That's the bottom line. But you see, tonight I wanted to get into the Old Testament with the brief time that we had tonight. And I wanted to get into 2 Kings. If you have your swords, please turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. And 2 Kings chapter 5 is a great story about a great warrior who had a great healing. Sounds pretty great, if you ask me. Amen?
Amen.
And this is a story about the healing of Naaman. And there's a lot of subplots going on here. So we're going to go through some verses, break it down, So everybody has a chance to chew on this. Now, the word of God is like a good steak. I don't know when the last time any of you had a really juicy, onolicious, broke the mouth, rib eye, 36-ounce steak, blood dripping off the plate, kind of slicked the bowl, brother. But the word of God is like that steak. You're not going to woof that thing down. You're going to take it piece by piece. You're going to savor it. You're going to chew it. You're going to remember it. Then you get to cut into another piece. Because if you just woof that whole thing down in one crack, you didn't really get a chance to enjoy it.
That's right.
You didn't get a chance to savor the smoky flavor of the slightly charbroiled beef that's sitting in front of you on that plate. Oh, man, I cannot talk like this before I go eat dinner. I'm too hungry. But anyway, the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to give a shout out to my brother Jay. Praise Jesus. Puahi, how you doing?
Praise Jesus.
You and your lovely bride had a wonderful time. You know, I saw some wonderful photos you posted up, Jay, of you feeding the animals somewhere down, I think, on the North Shore. And it reminded me of Friday night when I was feeding the animals right down at Plaza Hotel. It was really exciting watching them crack the crabs, those animals I had with me. But anyway, moving right along, Brother Jay. And Brother Shane and Brother Moki. Oh, too bad. But anyway, we had fun. So getting into the healing of Naaman. Wait, let me wipe the butter off my mouth. Okay, getting into the healing of Naaman. It's right in chapter 5 in 2 Kings. We're going to start right there. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. Quick stop right there. Check this out. So now Aram, the king of Aram, he had a great admiration for Naaman, who was the commander of the army. And the reason he had such great admiration is because he realized that through Naaman, the Lord had given all those victories. And even though he is a mighty warrior, he had a problem. He had a situation. Sometimes in life, we could have everything going right, but you know what? We all got some junk in the trunk. We all got some mess that needs to get blessed. We got something going on that everything looks good, but we all have a crack in that perfect picture. Amen?
Amen.
So at this time, the Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master, she's talking about Naaman now, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. Oh my goodness. How do you put a comparison to that, Bula, Brother Bula? If you had cancer and somebody said, hey, if you went to Molokai, get somebody over there that could heal you of your cancer, what would you do?
Just go.
You would jump on a plane, jump on a helicopter,
right.
Jump on a horse, jump on an ocean, jump on a canoe, jump on something, and jump on over there.
Get
amen?
There, yes.
Someone is going to cure you of a debilitating disease, something that is so horrendous. Leprosy was a horrendous disease back then. Now, being the mighty warrior that Naaman was, being the leader of the army for the king of Aram, you figure leprosy could be a little bit of a problem. To me, if you're a mighty warrior, I think you need both hands. You can't have a hand falling off because of leprosy. Amen?
Amen.
You can't have a wrist falling off because of leprosy. You kind of need your two legs. Can't be going only in there one and a half legs. Kind of be going there with a crutch. Ka-dunk, 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 ka-dunk. Let's go! Be a little tough. So leprosy is a big situation that Naaman has to deal with. But he's been blessed with all the victories by God himself. So Naaman, he told the king, this is verse 4, my brethren. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. I will send a letter of introduction for you to take to the king of Israel. Wow, now he get papers. You know, now the king gonna pull some rank. King gonna make it easy. He's gonna open a few doors. You know how it is when you got somebody in power. They're gonna open a few doors for you. So you don't have to go in the back door. You're going into the front door. So Naaman had this because the king was gonna do this for him because he was a mighty warrior that brought many victories to the king of Aram. And along with that, Naaman, this is the first example of Omiyagi, I think.
Yeah.
He took gifts. He wanted to present gifts.
Plenty
to
gifts.
The king. Now, he just took a few things. All he took was 750 pounds of silver, which in today's calculation would be worth $156,000. And the other thing that he took a few pounds of gold. He took 150 pounds of gold, which today would be worth $3,061,000. That's a lot, even back then. 10 sets of clothing. And the letter to the king of Israel said, with this letter, I present my servant Naaman. I want you to heal him of his leprosy. Pretty straightforward letter. But check this out. You see, sometimes when we send a message, sometimes when we say something, the receiver does not really understand what we have just said.
Yeah.
Although this is very basic, he's just saying, here's my servant. Please heal him of his leprosy. The king was acting on the information that the young girl had given to Naaman's wife. So based on the information that he had, that there was a prophet in Israel who could heal his mighty warrior, he's sending a very simple letter, or so we think. But look what happens. Look what happens when you're not in alignment for your assignment from God himself. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes in dismay. And said, this man, doesn't even say this king now. You see this? This is a challenge. This is when you're paranoid. This is when you're worried about other people taking what you have. When you're more worried about what you have than worried about how you can give to others. He says, this man sends me a leper to heal. He doesn't even recognize Naaman as a mighty warrior. He's already degraded the king down to the level of a mere person. Of no rank, saying, this man sends me a leper, instead of saying, this king sends me a mighty warrior. You see the difference there? And then the king goes on to say, am I God? You know how people act when they're all condescending. Am I God that I can give life and take it away? I can see that he's just trying to pick a fight with me. Now, where does he get that from? Where does he get that from? Because, and you're going to like this, this is a takeaway. What people don't understand, they fear. What people fear, they attack. I'll say that real slow again. What people don't understand, they fear. And what people fear, they attack. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now, Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes in dismay. And he sent a message to him saying, why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet here in Israel. Prophets, sometimes they're the greatest peacemakers. Amen? So check this out. So Naaman, in verse 9, in 2 Kings chapter 5, my beloved, for those of you that just tuned in, this is Free Inside Ministry on 99.5 FM, The Word. We're in 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 9, talking about the healing of Naaman. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. Okay, to give you a comparison what that would be like in today's world, Haman cruised up in his Hummers, in the Tahoes, and the BMWs. It's like the CIA, the Secret Service. Imagine 5 black Tahoes coming up, all tinted windows, just sitting outside your house. But check this out. Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. So Elisha didn't even come out, but he sent his messenger to give the message. Now look what happens to Naaman. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. He said, I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. Oh, it's the All About Me song. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy, call on the name of the Lord his God, and heal me. So now he wanted a demonstration. He wanted a theatrical manifestation of what he perceived it would take to get healed. Amen? Mm. Sometimes we think we have to go to all these conferences. Sometimes we have to go think that we have to go to all these events, these healing prayer events to get healed. You know, if you open up your mouth and pray, the Lord can heal you right there.
Amen.
You don't need any incantation. You don't need any theatrical production. What you need is the healing touch of God himself.
Yes.
And you start that by praying to him with your very own mouth. Amen?
Amen.
But check this out. So he goes, aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana, and the Pharpar better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. See, Elijah had told him to go jump in an alawai 7 times. But Naaman, because of who he is,
who
he thought he was, exactly what his perception of his standing in society, didn't like the alawai. He wanted to go to Aulani Resorts. He wanted to go to the Kahala Hotel. He wanted to go to the Hilton Hawaiian Village, where the pools are very nice and the water's a lot cleaner than the alawai canal. But what did he do? He did nothing. He got angry. He heard what he had to do to get healed, and he refused to hear the word because he's more focused on the messenger than the message. You see, sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, we can receive a word from one of God's messengers, but it's not someone that we think who would be a messenger of God, and we don't listen.
Amen.
And yet God is speaking through that person. Sometimes when we go into the facilities down at OCCC or be it in Halava, and more so I find it, you know, with the women when I'm speaking to them, there's always murmuring. So sometimes I've actually left one of the modules abruptly, and I says, I don't have to yell over you because my God doesn't yell over you. And what I have to speak about is the Rhema word of God is what you need to hear. But if your conversation is more important, I have no problem leaving because we have a long day. And I remember the one time that I took the team and I told Lynn, I said, pray up, we're gone, we're out here, let them know. And she goes, really? I go, yeah, I'm not going to argue. You know, there's 168 hours in a week. If we're in there for only 2 hours, that leaves 166 hours to have your conversation. But we're very limited on the time that we have with them. So we have to have some standards. We have to have some rules. We have to have some common respect because I'll wait till they're finished until I speak again because it's not a shouting match because I don't shout for my God. My God stands alone on his grace and his mercy for everyone. Amen. So look what happens with Naaman. He turns. He gets all hubbub. He gets angry. And they told him what he needed to do to get healed. But he turned away and went away in a rage. But luckily, check out his officers. Very blessed. But his officers tried to reason with him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply, go and wash and be cured. See, common sense comes back to Naaman. Sometimes we need one of our brothers. Sometimes we need one of our sisters just to us and say, what you doing? They just told you had to come to the altar. You had to give it to Jesus. Let go. Let God. Why are you going into the back of our church? Because you think somebody's going to see you. Why are you going to act like that?
Iron
sharpens iron. And it starts at the altar. It starts when you forgive yourself and ask for forgiveness from Jesus Christ for all your sins and give your life over to him and let him control what you do. That's where it starts from. But, you know, sometimes we get all, oh, I don't want anybody to see me do that. They're going to think, you know, I'm not Mr. Tough Guy, or you're going to think I don't have it all together. Well, brothers and sisters, let me tell you this. Nobody's got it all together, okay? Nobody does. You know, one of the challenges is we just have to lose of ourselves. We have to lose ourselves. We have to become less selfish and more selfless. We have to become less selfish and more selfless. So his officers reasoned with him, and so Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times, as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child's, and he was healed. Amen?
Amen.
You see, some of us, we wait until we have no other choices, and then we decide we're going to listen. Because we think we're going to try this and try that, and it doesn't work. And all along, God is saying, oh, how many times I told you this already? And then we get that aha moment. We go in there, we go, aha, wow, unreal. You know, and it's like Pastor Scott says, and what we tell all of our brethren that we see in the ministry, just try Jesus, because if it doesn't work, the devil will take you back. Amen?
Amen.
Here we have a situation with Naaman. He has leprosy. He has something that basically is incurable. And he goes to Israel on the advice of the young girl who talked to his wife, knowing that there's someone who can heal him. He goes to the prophet's house, Elijah's house, and because Elisha himself didn't come out, now he gets all upset. So now the messenger that Elisha sent gave him the message that Elijah would have gave him. But you see, sometimes I think we have to get a lesson. Instead of waiting for the big production, just take small steps. And here we have the messenger from Elisha himself who told Naaman what to do, but Naaman didn't hear what he wanted to hear. Amen?
Amen?
Sometimes when we get the word of the Lord, it's not what we want to hear. So then we get angry at God because we don't think God knows what he's doing. Amen? Am I talking to somebody tonight? Come on, somebody. Sometimes when God tells you or does something and you don't agree with it, now you think God doesn't like you anymore. God doesn't love you anymore. You know, maybe you don't understand why you're incarcerated right now, my brothers and sisters, but God's got a plan. Amen? Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend what the Lord has planned for those who love him.
Yes.
You know, and God has us all in the palm of his hand.
Yes, he does.
And the thing is, we forget that all we are is a big lump of clay. All God is trying to do is to form us in his image as we were created. Amen?
Amen.
And so what happens along the way is we don't want to listen. We don't want to be obedient. Well, you know, the price of disobedience is cracks. And God's going to get your attention. You see, when you were on the outside, when you had your ride with the low profiles, you had the sounds going, you had the bling around your neck, had the bling in your ear, you had your boys and your homies with you. What you didn't know that God was trying to reach you, but you weren't listening because he couldn't get your attention. So then what God has to do is take you out of what you were doing because it wasn't right in the first place and put you in a place where he could get your attention. And some of you are still not paying attention. Amen?
Amen.
Am I just preaching to the choir? Because sometimes the Lord tries to get my attention and I try and avoid it, but all I do is lose time and lose blessings.
That's right.
Because all the Lord wants to do is bless each and every one of us in an abundance of blessings, because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and in abundance. And that's the only way through the Father is through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. You know, and the problem is we forget that our access to the Father is through Jesus. Our access to the blessings is through Jesus.
That's right.
Our access to being cured is through Jesus.
Jesus.
Our access to peace is through Jesus.
Amen.
Our access to happiness is through Jesus.
Amen.
Our access to having a purpose in this life is through Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because everything you do at work is great, but it's not eternal. Everything you do in your community is great, but it's not eternal. Everything you do for your family is great, but it's not eternal. Everything you try and do is wonderful, but it's not eternal. The only thing that is eternal in your life is your salvation. So if you look at where you focus all your efforts, see, a lot of us says, well, you know, I've got to prioritize my schedule. That's what I've got to do. I've got to prioritize my schedule. Well, I want you to consider this. What if you were to schedule your priorities and go that way? You know, like it's like a lot of us, no one ever wakes up in the morning and say, you know, I really want to mess up today. Oh, I hope I get fired at work today. Oh, I hope I argue with my husband or my wife today. Oh, I want to get my kids irritated at me today. Oh, I want my neighbors to get upset at me today. I don't think anybody in their right mind, hallelujah, wakes up and says that. Amen? We all try to do good in our lives. We all try and do the good thing or the right thing. You see, but a lot of us, I would say not all of us, just 99.8% of us, we all fail to plan. But I don't know anybody who plans to fail. Nobody plans to fail. Nobody plans to have a bad day. Nobody plans to be an idiot.
That's
Nobody
right.
plans to have a difficult time at work. But you see, we all get to the same place. Whether we plan to fail or fail to plan, we both get there. And if you don't know where you're going, when you get there, you'll know. Amen? You see, instead of a lot of times we try and do stuff, and when the going gets tough, what's the first thing we do? Oh, let's pray. oh, but this is such a great ministry idea. You know, it worked out on our performer sheets, you know, and we extrapolated all the information. We used the demographics from the neighborhood. We knew what the economic base was of the income families, and we knew how we could attract the low-income families and the kids that didn't have much. And, you know, we had all our scientific data there. So this ministry should be more successful. This ministry should be bringing more into the harvest. Well, you see, a lot of times when we get into trouble with a ministry or a plan or a project or a business, it's at that point when we hit that breaking point or that sticking point where we say, oh, we better pray. Interesting. See, a lot of times we ask God to bless our plans after it's not even a plan, after it's already in action already.
That's right.
It's actually in motion already. It's actually taking place. And we're saying, God bless our plans. No, what you're saying is God bless our mistakes. You see, instead of saying God bless our plans, let's try this, my beloved. Let's say God planned my blessings.
Oh, yes.
Now, if you were to ask God to plan your blessings, I believe that your success ratio might be a little bit higher because God was with you from the beginning. How can somebody run step by step and step with you when you call them halfway through the race? There's a transition time. You know, it's like when these sprinters are doing relay races. There's that time in the box where they have to run stride for stride so they can pass the baton. But they have a certain area where they can do that. But imagine if you didn't have that area to get step and step. You know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to buckle loose. Nothing's going to happen. So it's like asking God, okay, come step with me because I'm already doing what I'm doing, but hurry up because I only got a small time for you to do it. No, instead of saying, God bless my plans, let's say God planned my blessings. And out of obedience, let's listen to the word of the Lord that he gives us. Amen?
Praise Jesus.
You know, so with Naaman, he heard what he had to do, but it wasn't what he wanted to do. Sometimes the Lord's going to talk to us and tell us what we need to do, but we have to open our ears. And in obedience,
gotta listen.
In obedience, we shall experience those blessings. Amen?
Amen.
And Naaman, because the prophet himself didn't come down, the senior pastor didn't come down, the head bishop didn't come down and talk to him. It was just an associate pastor. It was just a ministry leader. It was just a deacon. It was just an elder of the church. It was just a guy that sits in the second row on Sundays that came to talk to him. He didn't want to listen to him. You know, sometimes we just have to be obedient to our Lord and Savior. Sometimes we got to be obedient to our Father. You know, even though it's not what we want to hear, it's what he's telling us.
Amen.
Because he has our best interests at hand. We just got to get right with him. Tonight, open up your mouth. Give Abba Father a shout out. Talk to him. He wants to hear from you. He wants you in his house on Sundays too, by the way. Better get there. Get some rest. We'll see you tomorrow night.
You've been listening to Free Inside Ministry with Brother Bulla Eastman. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope today's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. And remember, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, free inside. Until next time, may God bless you.